Welcome to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We're so excited you're back with us and we enjoy the culture of honor. Apostle Thompson's teaching is so awesome and foundational that we may not understand the heaven to earth government. It's so important that these foundation truths be established in the earth. At this is the time that we live in. In order for God's full expression to be seen in the earth, then divine order has to be established. Truly, I believe the church is on its way back to restoration and to revival once we begin to see these foundational principles of God's original plan for the church being reconstructed and reestablished. If we talk about the fivefold functioning of these ministries, gifts of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, we begin to identify the linkage and the importance of each office operating at its full potential, connecting with the other offices in order to bring forth heaven to earth, where we see the glory of God's expression in the church and also in the world, that the world might be saved. So as we study our lesson and we begin to identify the apostle, his agenda, his focus, his goal, and why it's so important that he, even though being a major foundational, which all others are built on, is so important that corporation be established with the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is very important because, again, that word linkage, connection, and how God has established the flow for the church to walk in. So as we look on page 61, we talk about first apostles. Let's note what the author says to us in these passage or information. He said, you have likely heard the term apostolic ministry used more in recent years. He said, I'm confident that we will hear and see more of it in the years to come. The term is something that needs defining early in this book because I will make frequent references to it from here on. Through this term, I will be referring to the primary goals. So let's make sure we focus in on the primary goals of each office, their goals, identifying their goals and why these goals are so vital and important principles that everything else is built upon them. Everything else is built upon the primary goals and visions of the apostles. This is what he said. I will refer to the primary goals and objectives of the apostles' leadership, and therefore the goals with which all the people under the apostle align themselves. This is why we must understand the apostle. This is why we have an apostolic ministry, an apostolic church. Because line upon line and precept upon precept, everyone that comes into the revelation or the knowledge of the apostolic will align themselves and operate from these foundational truths or principles or goals that everything is operated on. Why we do what we do. Why we say what we say. Why we operate the way we operate is because of these foundational goals that we pull everything from. Operation, language, expressions, all come from goals and visions as you do in your own personal life. And we talked about our core belief systems in the future of our teachings. Everything is built, everything I say, everything I do, how I live is based upon these goals and principles. And this sometimes why people find it hard to begin to walk in the apostolic ministries is because of the fact they don't understand why we do what we do. And sometimes the goals need to be explained, the truths need to be explained, so they can understand it. This will help us to break down traditional walls, unbelief, and a lot of suspicion that religious people have when we're talking about going from religion, working from earth to heaven, to apostolic, working from heaven to earth. We work from the goals. We work from the objectives. It's what is the foundation that the apostle teaches from, operates from. And so a lot of things that the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, and maybe even the prophet sometime will find acceptable may not be found so much flowing in the apostolic because of his focus, because of the objectives, because of the goals. And this is why it's going to be necessary that the linkage between the five offices be on one accord so we can have a fullness and the saints can they can fulfill the mandate, the agenda, and they can have the full power of God's church in the earth realm, of heaven and earth. We can have a full impact when we have the fivefold giftings linkage connected properly, flowing with each other, not competing, but complementing. Not competing, but complementing. This is vital. This is vital. This is where we break down denominationalism. We break down religious theologies. We go past those things. When we learn to move in the foundation principles of the Word of God. The next paragraph, he begins to say, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he brought a key phase into their core value. He taught them to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His instruction taught them to long for heaven on earth. I believe this core value is the primary objective of the apostles' ministry. Number one, apostle leaders are focused on heaven, and their mission is to see heaven supernatural reality established on the earth. That's important that we understand that. It's important that we understand that, and re-emphasizing that is important because we need to realize that everything we do, everything we say, how we operate is from this perspective. It's from this divine cry or order that God has placed in the church to long for heaven on earth. To long for heaven on earth. And because of that key phase or key principle, the apostles are always aiming to experience heaven on earth. God's divine will of seeing earth look like heaven. Seeing earth operate like heaven. So the apostle is always geared to the exposure of heaven on earth. Whatever God's divine will, God's divine plan, God's divine operation is in heaven, he said it needs to operate here on earth. In every believer's life, in every ministry, in every on every continent. So the number one primary focus of the apostle is to see heaven on earth. It's to see heaven on earth. Let's read it again. He said the apostolic leaders are focused on heaven, and their mission is to see heaven's supernatural reality established on the earth. They long to see the evidence of heaven touch in the environment they lead or influence. Everything's about the heaven agenda. The peace of heaven, the joy of heaven, the excitement that is in heaven, the longevity, the divine health, long life, healing. I mean, whatever heaven looks like, he says we need to be experiencing, tasting it on earth. Power, authority, dominion. So we need to be experiencing on earth in every meeting in our daily walk. Experience the richness of the peace of heaven, the joy of heaven, the blessings of heaven need to be flowing through you every day in your home, in your marriage, in your body, in your finances, in your business. It needs to be flowing in the local church. When we have the teachings and the principles of heaven at heart as our top priority, we will experience God's presence everywhere we go. God's dominance and God's rule will be in our house, in our homes, that when people visit you and come in your presence, they sense the presence of God. Because God is number one priority in your life. We're kingdom focused. We're kingdom driven into the things of God. They long to see the evidence of heaven touch in the environment they lead or influence. He says, having this motivation at the foundation of a church leads to an entirely different emphasis in the church governing priorities. Because of that foundation, the way the church is governed is based on that priority. This is different from denominationalism. Because as man's rule, man ideals, man structured, and not kingdom focus, heaven to earth focus. It's more earth to heaven. We're trying to tell God what to do instead of God telling us what to do. And when men come in that environment, it's so different to they think it's an occult. They think it's because it's not operating based on their theory. It's kingdom order, kingdom structure, God-led, God-infused. He said the apostles will make the presence of God. This is what he said. The apostles will make the presence of God, the worship of God, and the agenda of heaven, the top priorities of the environment. And apostolic government is designed to protect these priorities. That's why it's so structured. That's why it doesn't allow fashionism and worldly ideals to infiltrate. It doesn't deal with the socialism of people, everyday life, in the church. It is structured, God-driven, God-focused. What did God say? And people find that too starchy, too irony, and so they don't want to be involved in something that they cannot have gray areas in. because it's too much order. But it's the order in the government that protects the priorities. Number two, the Apostle Paul refers to himself as the master builder, the architect. He refers himself as the master builder. That's number two. Make sure you get that in your questions, because that also will be on your quiz, which also will go towards your next exam. He says here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, this is a translation of the Greek word architon, the word from which we derive the English word architect. He said, this perfectly describes the role of the apostolic ministry. It is as though God himself has given blueprints to certain individuals to reproduce heaven on the earth. So along with this blueprint, the anointing of the apostles contain a quality that simulates and draws to the surface the diverse anointings in the people around him. That's number two. Because of the calling, because of the anointing that is upon the apostle, it draws diversity, gifts, talents, abilities to him and surrounds him so we can begin building what is on the blueprint. The apostle realizes that he cannot build this church kingdom on earth without help. Without help. And these helps, ministry, are other four gifts or offices. Along with the helps ministry, we talk about help ministry, we're talking about mission fields, we're talking about ushers, we're talking about praise and worship leaders and musicians, we're talking about those who work in various parts of youth ministry. This ministry of help is necessary in order to build and secure these priorities of heaven to earth ministry. Is necessary. So the apostle lay out the blueprint or the order of how the ministry is supposed to operate and function so that we could have the fullness or the wholeness of God's presence in every ministry. This also includes the apostle, the prophets, the evangelist, the pastor, and teachers. All of these gifts need to operate in every individual church. Every individual establishment need to have all five offices operating in it in order to have the fullness of kingdom on earth, a heaven on earth. This is challenging because a lot of times these ministries of men ideals, if we're not grounded in knowing who we are, what we are called to do, and how we function, without this knowledge being sealed in our heart, we begin to rub each other for dominance, that the prophet is more important than the apostle, the evangelist is more important than the pastor, or the teacher is more important than the pastor. You know, we began to rub arms, and this would cause church splits and divides in ministry, and it confuses the members of the church because they don't know who to look for leadership because of these diverse gifts when they operate out of function. They don't know who is the main leader. And this is why it's important that clarity, understanding of each gift, calling, be clear in the church. clear in the church, so we won't have the division that can come from five major players in one house. Gifts in one house. Now, apostle can also have the calling of a prophet. He can also have the calling of a pastoral and a teacher. Very seldom he'll move in the realm of evangelism. He may have an operation set up in the church for evangelism. But most of the times, we begin to find that one person does try to operate in all five areas and can do a pretty good job at it. But it's more effectively, I believe that it's more effectively, that when we begin to establish the body of Christ to duplicate, to impart into others and recognize others who have the gifts and callings on their lives that can operate up under this umbrella of the apostolic ministry in unity and in harmony, that we can have worship services and we can see all the words and gifts operating, flowing in their full potential, and we can have the miracle healings, deliverance, power of God in every meeting. In every meeting. When we understand who we are and we're not intimidated by the other gifts and callings in the body of Christ, I believe then we will see the full manifestation of the glory of God in the local church. This is what he goes on to say. Number three, along with this blueprint, the anointing of the apostle contains a quality that stimulates and draws to the surface the diverse anointings in the people around him. There are jewels in the pews. And when we begin to teach and we begin to minister and to instruct and flow in our gifts and callings, people are drawn out. These gifts and talents are drawn out of people, and people begin to step up and begin to sense their callings and begin to add their callings to the local pastor or apostle to begin to cause the growth, the building of ministry, whether it's in youth ministry, whether in youth counseling, again, whether it's in adult ministry, whether it's dealing over in marriage ministry, prison ministry, nursing home ministry, whatever ministries that are needed to fully get the word out, to build people where they live, these gifts and callings would be drawn out of the people who connect and surround the apostle. That anointing is strong, and it can identify the other gifts in the body of Christ. Let's move forward to number four. Well, let's finish this paragraph. Let's do that. He says, as those around the apostle begin to manifest their own unique anointing. That's important. Everyone has their own unique anointing. They can hear the apostle. They can get the revelation the apostle is releasing. But they always have their own unique anointing. This sometimes becomes a challenge because many times in ministry, we try to make people out of ourselves. We want people to do everything ... based the way I would do it. But God inspires people with their gifts and their talents and their different anointings and different graces that they can do exactly what I'm releasing, but at a higher level, because I'm really only the architect. I'm not the guy who knew what curtains need to go up. I'm not always the guy who understands what colors need to be on the wall. I'm not the guy that always want to pick out the certain carpet. You see, God has unique people in the ministry to do all those different things that the apostle who only focus on heaven to earth, government. But I need people around me who can see, who can also lead, who can orchestrate other operations and pull in that which I hear or see in the spirit world. That's the uniqueness of the body of Christ. This is why God no longer uses the one-man show of Old Testament covenant, where he did Moses, or he did Elijah, or Elisha. You know, even though there was sons that were supposed to grow up under these guys, but most of these guys, we always saw the one-man ministry. Joshua, you know, the one-man ministry. Abraham, just one. Moses, they're just by themselves. Until God raised up one person to impart the calling into. But God is now speaking in the new covenant. He's speaking to the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Many, but one body. So we have to be able to embrace the uniqueness and the gifts and callings and the talents that are around us. And let those wonderful gifts blossom that causes the whole body to come fully fit, jointly supplying each other. This is a powerful, wonderful thing once we come together to understand that I don't have to be intimidated by the gifts and callings around me. I'm here to impart to those gifts and callings the kingdom order as the apostle. He concludes with this unique anointing. It creates an environment of subcontractors who help the master builder to realize the blueprint of heaven. Wow. Subcontractors. God would arm the apostle with subcontractors. That's who they are. Hallelujah. But they're following the blueprint of the apostle. They're following the blueprint of the apostle. And that's how we have to operate. With every gift in operation. Now we move to the point. The following are some of the key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. The following are some of the key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. We're pointing out several of these so that you also could identify them easily on the quiz. So you need to also mark them, go over them in your book so that you can have the question or have the answer when you hear the question identified. Maybe not in the same order, but you have the answer so you'll know what to be looking for. Number four, he says, worship and supernatural activity. Worship and supernatural activity are primary in the environment, in the lifestyle of the saints. Because God's presence is the top priority. Because apostles make God's presence the top priority. This is why those who connect, those who follow, will begin to experience the supernatural manifestations in their lives of healing, prosperity, security, increase. All of these things will begin to take place in their lives because of the umbrella which have made heaven to earth the key priority. So apostolic people are heaven to earth prioritized. They think that way. What is God doing in this situation? We can speak to this situation, that condition. Oh, that condition can change. God get in. God can change that condition. God can heal that body. God can raise that dead person. God can cause miracles, signs, and wonders to happen in people's lives. Why? Because we are heaven to earth prioritized. We believe that all things are possible to him that believe. We believe that all conditions are changeable. And there's no incurable sickness or diseases. Why? Because heaven has already proved to us that there is no sickness, no disease. Nothing but divine health, long life, prosperity, joy, and peace is what heaven looks like. And that's why my life should look like heaven. And when I focus in on that, my life will begin to shift and come to alignment to look exactly like heaven. Here on earth, you can experience heaven, days of heaven on earth. So that's number four. Number two, he talks about in the line on page 62, the saints are sent, as Jews was, to destroy the works of the devil, including disease, sickness, and affliction. The saints live to demonstrate to all the people on earth that God is always the good guy and Satan is always the bad guy. Always. The anointing on every member in the local church upon the apostolic is empowered to go forth to win souls, heal the sick, raise the dead, clean the lepers. That's what Jesus did in Matthew 10 when he sent the 12 apostles out. He gave them that authority, whatever house you go in, if the man of peace receive you, then speak these words over the house. And Jesus followed them and he saw that people were healed, people were delivered, people were full of joy, there was excitement in the city. Wherever the apostles went, they saw he saw the explosion of heaven, of joy, of peace. God, the disciples been through here. They've been through here. They've seen. I see my glory. I see heaven manifested on earth. That's what God want to see today in the earth. Through you, those of you who are involved in the culture of honor, in this class of a training center, your importation is to empower you not only to be a member in your local church, just paying your tithes and offerings, but to be an active son in your environment. Wherever you are, activated heaven on earth. That's what God expects of you and me on a daily basis as he lead, as he direct you to minister, to witness, to pray for people, to bless people. That is heaven demonstrated on earth. And God get the glory. Hallelujah. God get the glory. Number three, he said, the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, church is to be a place of exceedingly abundant joy. So the apostle government is to protect the priority in the local church. Did the church deal with conflicts? Yes, they do. Sometimes people want stuff out of line. Yes, they do. We have to deal with those things because it's necessary to either protect the peace and the joy of every person who enter in the environment or the culture. That they're coming from confusion to rest. They're coming from chaos to order, structure for their lives. And so the priority of the apostle is to make sure that this is protected. And he's hard on that. So he doesn't deal with feelings and emotion. He deals with order. This is why it's so important that he have a pastor around him. Because a pastor deals with the nurturing of those who are in the house. When the apostle will cut you, let you bleed a moment. But it's that pastor that comes and put the band-aid on and put the stitches on you. Because we're concerned about the order and the protection of the integrity of the kingdom. As those of you may know, apostle is very strong upon the dress code for pastors in the church. Because he's trying to protect the integrity of the church and not allow people to come in the kingdom looking and dressing any kind of way in the kingdom. You have gone to some world events, some graduations, and some weddings, and you realize, you know, these are eloquent meetings, educational program, but people come in these areas dressed all kinds of ways. He said, this should not be the church. It's a place of holiness, it's a place of righteousness, it's a place of the glory of God's presence, and we should be also adorn ourselves, moderate, presentable before God. This is his concern, and it should be every member's concern. Let's go further. Number four. God's desire, those who don't yet know him, to come into a relationship with him where the primary emphasis is love, not mere service. Is love not mere service? Service is a part of it, but to love God, to have that rest, that peace in your heart, in your life, to realize I'm loving God. Oh, I may not be dressed like to the levels others are dressed, but because the love of God is in the church, people is receptive of those as we grow. It's not that love is the order. Love is the atmosphere of the kingdom. So there has to be some receptiveness so people can grow. And I believe as people connect with the local church and become involved in the local church environment, they begin to grow and transition to other levels of dealing with the dress code, dealing with different things that goes on in the local church. As long as the core group maintains its integrity of love and compassion, I believe people will make transitions. I believe they will make transitions. So we have to give time to that as well. But love has to be the atmosphere. It has to be the core of what we operate from. We operate from love toward all people. We're not here to reject people. We're here to embrace people. Jesus said, through loving kindness have I drawn you. Through loving kindness have I drawn you. So we're here to draw people into God so people can have a relationship with God and know that they're loved by the people, they're loved by the apostle, they're loved by the leadership, and that we give time for growth and elevation, and we nurture and those type of things because of the five different linkage of offices that are connected. So we're able to do this, to get people healed, get them delivered, get them matured. Number five, he says here, the body of Christ is being built up and equipped to become a glorious and victorious bride, no matter how the conditions of the earth may presently appear. This is important because this is why we are in the world, but not of the world. Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not taking on the fashion of this world. This is why people have to understand that the church is not a social club, is not a place that is fashioned like the world, looks like the world, operates like the world. It doesn't. It's the kingdom of God. And so that the transition of their thinking has to transform from a world perspective to a kingdom perspective. This is where royalty, priesthood abide, where people understand who they are in the kingdom, who God has created them to be, and operate from that perspective. Live according to that perspective. Not fashion or looking like the world, or entertaining like the world entertains. We separate ourselves from that. And so we have a challenge in some of our youth section of the church, where young people, get certain ages, they want to drop out, they don't want to be a part of the ministries any longer, they want to go experience the world situation, because they find it more, seem to find it more exciting, those type of things. It's part of the challenge of the church because we realize that we cannot compromise who we are to keep people in our chairs or in our pews. The integrity of the kingdom has to be protected by his government. And so that may be what's called the revolving door, where people come in and people leave out. But we must protect the integrity of the ministry. We must protect the integrity of the ministry. So we want to close there, but keep enforcing and understanding why this is important, why it's necessary that we understand the apostolic and be able to flow with the apostolic without getting offended because he doesn't deal with the emotions or the feelings of people. He's focused upon the government of heaven. Until next time, God bless you. I see you then.